This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Do we feel any type of way if Kevin is not playing by next Thursday?
Yeah.
Or even today?
Yeah, Mike hates him. That's like, there's no reason for him not to be. To me, there's no reason for Kevin Huerter to not be playing basketball tonight.
I agree.
That's what I was wondering, too.
Absolutely
none. I know it was too soon to ask about today, but.
No, absolutely not. I was half joking, but, yo, Kevin, come here. Go run into Mason Jones.
I hear you.
Just go run. Alex, come here. Alex, stand right there. Kevin, just run into Alex.
I like Alex.
Get it over with.
Yeah, no, you're right.
In fact, Kevin, stand still. Alex, run into him. Just get it over with and let him go play basketball.
Because right now, to the doctors, you know, with the doctor, he's passed everything. So the only thing left now is to do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, we're trying to, you know, work him back slowly. He's already been worked back. At least from my eyes. Like, maybe there's something that they understand a lot better than I do. But in my eyes, he's already been worked back slowly and all this other stuff. The last step is, can you take regular NBA contact?
Mm-hmm.
The only way to find that out was by him playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why he's not playing.
Yeah. I mean, part of our reaction, I think, is Mike's just bizarre response to questions about Kevin Huerter.
That's a lot of
the day that Kevin Huerter was cleared to play, or the day Kevin Huerter had been cleared to play days before, and Mike acted like he didn't know, which was so bizarre to all of us. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just bizarre to us. I don't know. But I would very much like to see Kevin Huerter play basketball tonight.
Yes, me too.
If there's one thing that I want to see from the Sacramento Kings, it's Kevin Huerter headbandless playing basketball tonight.
Yeah, the headband's gone.
I feel like that might be an issue if you are without Trey and Kevin to start the season.
Yeah,
sure. You need something on your bench.
I think that's been an issue this preseason that people don't want to talk about just because it's preseason. Oh, no one cares. Oh, you guys are making too much. Oh, they're not going to do this. That's all perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing games. They don't look particularly good on offense. They look small. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason is that Trey and Kevin, who are both rotational guys, aren't there.
Yeah. That's got a lot to do with it. And this team is good. This team is they're going to win a lot of games. But that's me feeling that way about them at full strength. They're not good enough to miss numerous guys out of that rotation, out of that typical rotation, and still win the same amount of games I think they would if they were all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that factors in. They're going to look different if they don't have all their guys there.
Which is understandable. I take that back. I'd like to see Kevin Huerter play tonight. I think the other thing I'd like to see tonight is Malik play well. I don't care if it's for one stretch of 10 minutes or it's for 20. I'd like to see Malik play well just because I'd like to see him get into a rhythm on the offensive end.
I agree. I need to see Malik start to feel like himself again.
Do you care what happens tonight? Like, if they lose, or is are you...
The win-loss, I'm not tripping on at all.
What if they give up 40% from three, shoot 29% from three, and...
Nah, don't bother me.
Okay.
But I do want to see
these guys...
Well,
we know you don't care about defense.
I want to see the way they play. Like, that was my thing with the game on Tuesday, was while they didn't play great, I was watching them, and they looked all right.
I didn't think they played well. I feel like I'm alone on that.
I didn't think they played good, but they looked all right. Okay. Like, and here we go. Some of that may have to do with the last time we had seen them previously, right? Where
the Timberwolves, the Blazers.
Yeah, game. And it was like, you guys can't look like that.
Yeah, right.
Like, you may not win, you know, you may, whatever happens, Utah happens, but you can't look like that again.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So maybe that kind of jaded the way I looked at their performance. But I thought Tuesday was like a regular game. And if tonight is the same thing, just kind of a regular game, maybe not as crisp on the offensive end or anything like that, I can deal with that. Not happy with it, but I can deal with it. If they come out and they play more so like they did the first half of the first Warriors game, then, you know, like to your point yesterday, probably all feel a lot better. We'll be like, oh, they're ready. They're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll forget everything that happened. Oh, they're locked in. They're ready now. And that's, come on. That's just the way the game goes. But I want to see them play better on the offensive end. That's the one thing I'm looking for.
I got you.
Because I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to hang their hat on.
And I'm good if it's for a half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a repeat of. I mean, I don't care if they play 30 minutes. Meaning mm-hmm. De'Aaron, DeMar, those guys. I mm-hmm. just prefer this be like a football game.
Yeah.
Do like you did against the Warriors mm-hmm. game one.
Mm-hmm.
Full on squad rotation, everything. For a half, and then, you know, maybe chill from there.
That's it.
I wouldn't hate Malik playing into the second half, especially if Kevin is playing. If Kevin's not, I don't think I care. If Kevin's not playing, if Doug McDermott is playing, play him 48 minutes. I won't, or whatever his first role. I want to watch Doug McDermott in a Kings jersey play. And I have no clue. I saw Big John Poles ask. I have no clue if he's playing tonight. They officially announced his signing yesterday. Which means there's nothing that would prohibit him from playing, but
it doesn't mean just not.
Well, yeah, meaning I meant more like logistically.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing preventing him from playing.
Right.
It could be just we're not going to. When was the last time you played? You know what I mean? Like, you do 3-on-3. Like, did you have a trainer, Tim Grover? Like, what were you doing?
And you know he's ready because he tweeted out light the beam yesterday. So,
well, there's speculation that that wasn't him.
Oh, is that the burner?
There
was a fake Doug McDermott account.
So, what got us was that goddamn James Ham retweeted it. Like, that's where I saw it. James Ham retweeted it. The fake Doug McDermott account.
Got chatty house.
He got chatty housed. And then, like, I went to pull up to see what the tweet. Like what it looked like, and it was, and James, I guess he had retweeted it or whatever, it was gone. And then I saw it floating around social later, and like the idea that Doug McDermott has 261 followers, like I get it, he's not LeBron James, but come on, man, this is a professional basketball player with a following of a decade plus dating back to college, and you think 261 people are following this person? Like, come on, man. What? Just exercise like a little bit of discretion here.
Well, the other killer about that, I will say this about James or anybody else, is, I mean, who's expecting McDermott to have have the parody accounts.
Like, well, that's well.
Yeah, we need to talk to the guy who has a Doug McDermott parody account.
I got on Twitter and said, I'm going to be Doug McDermott. That's a good.
Where's Creighton?
Creighton is in Indiana.
So I think that's right.
Yeah, I think it's in Indiana. Yeah,
we need to talk to some kid.
Where's
in
Fargo?
Fargo's in North Dakota. Is it North or South?
It's one of the Dakotas.
Yeah, so shout out to Doug McDermott's fake account.
Yeah. But I'm with you, though. Like, I want to see, I want to use this opportunity, especially if, like, he hasn't played a lot in the offseason and, you know, he's trying to get back into shape.
Joe says that account has some crazy tweets on it, too.
Well, they have one. I did see this. They had one in response to Shams's tweet about him going to the Kings. And he responded, and he said something crazy. The reason why I was aware of it, because I looked at that, I looked at the response, and I looked at McDermott. I said, no, that's not his account, is it? And then I clicked, and I was like, oh, that was the parody account. But he said something crazy about Sean.
That's just full on at Doug McDermott. Like, it's not even like a weird, is that spelled wrong?
Possibly.
Hold on, how do you spell Doug McDermott? Nope. It's spelled exact like he just got the account. Doug McDermott never created an account.
Huh.
And okay, God damn it. Sonia, unfollow this person. Mrs. Mac, you guys need to unfollow him. Cody, if you're listening, unfollow this account. For the love of God.
Oh, man. He got everybody in Sacramento.
This man tweeted, Shohei Ohtani is the greatest, most transcendent athlete since Shador Sanders. What are y'all doing?
I mean, does Doug McDermott have a real what's his real Twitter?
Look at Mrs. Mac 10, but he's funny. Come on, man. Oh, Little People UFC.
What?
He's got Little People Mixed Martial Arts on his... on this account.
Oh, man. What's going on?
I wonder what that...
Not a single person vetted this.
Who is this guy?
This little person...
What's that handle?
It's at Doug McDermott. I'm telling you, it's just at Doug McDermott. That's the handle.
Wait a minute. There's no way that this happened.
MCDERM. It's
we sure Doug McDermott just doesn't like Colorado.
I'm about to see.
Who's this guy?
Okay, wait a minute.
Did you see the video?
Wait, no, time out. Because I double checked this situation and I go to Basketball Reference because they give you the socials.
Oh, no.
It's this.
Oh, no. Come on, man. Who are the 44 accounts that he's following Shams. He's following the Sacramento Kings. He's following Barstool Big Cat. A lot of Barstool accounts he's following. Legion
Come
Hoops.
On.
He's following.
Basketball Reference got Chatty House, bro.
He's following Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah. No, these tweets are crazy.
Yo, these tweets are wild.
I just can't believe Basketball Reference got Chatty House.
This is amazing.
And nobody alerted him. Maybe I should reach out to him. Like, hey, guys.
Y'all need to fix this. That Like the Beam tweet has been retweeted 187 times. God bless it, man.
Now I want to know how you fell. How do you fall for this account?
Oh, okay, how about this guy? Proud of you, man. I'm glad you got picked up. Teams need someone like you. Congrats, Doug. Excited to see you still got it, old man.
Oh, man.
Oh, here's another one from Brian. Sack is going to love this dude. Hope he does well. Excited to see the Kings, what the Kings can be this season.
Oh, man. You know what?
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's crazy is what if it really was Doug McDermott? And he's just throwing everybody off by not having a lot of followers, not following a lot of people.
Yeah, no, Jill is she's found some tweets. This is not Doug McDermott.
The other thing about that is, if I'm doing this correctly, he don't even have a lot of tweets. He may have some replies.
Yeah, the replies are pretty wild. He has little people fighting.
That's just bizarre.
All right. And there's Mrs. MacTan just following him. he's funny. God.
He's funny.
Someone tell Cody Starks to unfollow that account. We'll come back.
Drew Downs got, I commit war crimes for a Chris Boo power rate. It's pretty solid.
Look at the, oh man, they got Michelle Draper in here. Michelle Draper's
we're too far gone.
It's over. This is society now. Unbelievable. Matt George isn't following that account. He joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Happy to be joined by our good friend from Locked On Kings podcast.
My dog.
And, of course, ABC 10.
My dog.
Our man, Matt George. Matthew, you ready to get this last game over with as much as it seems like every member of the Sacramento Kings is?
You got that right. Get us to regular season basketball. Although I was listening for a little bit on my drive today. Casey, I'm not as confident as you are that just flipping the switch of regular season will solve some of the issues that the Sacramento Kings team has, but I'm ready for basketball to be real, and this is going to be the longest week from today till next Thursday. It's going to be a long week, but it's been a long off season, so we can survive one more week.
Yeah. Now, look, to clarify, I don't think everything will be solved. Like I said, I don't think they'll be the best version of themselves to start the season, but I think they'll be better than what we've seen in the preseason. I think they'll shoot the ball better. They'll defend a little better. They'll be a little bit more cohesive. The intensity will be on par for what you would expect once the regular season starts. They'll still have a lot of things to work on, a lot of things to work through, but I think they'll be better than what we've seen in these four preseason games.
But is that more because of they've got now five games under their belt, or is that more because of now it's the regular season, so it matters?
A little bit.
Because I'm not subscribing to the second part, which so many people I think are just coping to throw out there. I don't think this team has earned that the right to say, oh, it's the regular season. Now we're just not going to shoot 25% from 3-point range. Now shots are just going to go in because it matters now. Now we're going to play perimeter defense because it matters now. Like, this team has clear issues and things that I hope will be fixed with, hopefully, Kevin Huerter playing tonight. D'Lo, you said there's no reason for Kevin not to play. I completely agree with that. Like, hopefully when this team gets healthy, that will certainly help things. But I'm not – this team lost to Detroit at home last season because they didn't get up to play. They got their ass beat by Portland the day after Christmas because they didn't get up to play. So why do they get the benefit of the doubt that suddenly against the Minnesota Timberwolves, one of the best teams in the league, suddenly shots are just going to start falling and everything's going to be fine because now the game matters? Like, that's the way of thinking that I think this Kings team needs to get away from. And it's frustrated not just me, not just you guys. It's frustrated them. Like, they know they're capable of playing better. But when they don't play as well as they play, there's always some, oh, it was this team, or oh, it's preseason, or oh, it's this, it's oh, it's that. For me, the frustration that I have with the Sacramento Kings from this preseason is these are opportunities. You don't have to look your best in preseason. Going 5-0 or 0-5 in preseason doesn't matter. But these are opportunities for you to show me that you are better. Show that there's a different level to where you were last season. And with the exception of some moments in half-court offense with DeMar DeRozan and stuff and things like that, this team hasn't shown me that yet. And that's what has me concerned going into game one against Minnesota, which we know is special, or at least we believe they're going to be special again.
What's the number one concern?
This team can't hit water if they fell out of a boat from 3-point range right now. I mean, that's one of those things where I get like playing with maybe a little more effort or the guys getting more comfortable playing together, but like shots falling, that's not something that just is fixed because the game matters all of a sudden. You don't just shoot better because they're getting open looks. And I think within the Kings organization, in fact, I know this, within the Kings organization, they're very confident that this will work itself out, right? But that's also something we heard a lot last season during the shooting woes. The Kings are generating really good looks from 3-point range. They're just not falling. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? Stop taking them? No, the Kings aren't going to stop taking them. But at some point, you have to start making them. Mm-hmm. And if the Kings are showing that if they can't make threes, they're capable of losing to anybody, and they're not going to look their best. They're not going to look close to their best on offense. It doesn't matter if DeMar DeRozan is playing with them or De'Aaron Fox is playing well or Domantas Sabonis is playing well. Like, this team has been so bad from 3-point range, which, again, you look at the addition of Doug McDermott. Great Twitter account, by the way. you look at the addition of Doug McDermott, and everything that Monty McNair has done this summer has pointed to offense. Mike Brown can say defense, defense, defense all he wants. Every move Monty McNair is making, which comes from an analytical background, is all offensive driven. Mm-hmm. You went and got smaller, but you brought in one of the best ISO scorers in the league. You brought back Malik Monk. That was a no-brainer. You went out and had an opportunity in free agency to bring in a Jay Crowder, who is maybe a little more defensive oriented. You went out and got someone whose primary skill is shooting from the forward position when your team cannot shoot right now. Everything Monty McNair is doing is offensive driven. And if this team cannot have success consistently offensively, they're not going to come close to what they're supposed to be or what they believe that they can be. So that's the aspect that has me concerned. The perimeter defense I knew wasn't just going to fix itself. I expect that and expect them to work through that. But this team not making shots is not just a preseason issue. It's a you're not making shots. And hopefully tonight we can see a game where the lid comes off the basket a little bit.
One of the things that I think about with that, though, is I don't know if everything will be fixed or anything else like this, but what we've seen in four games, I'm not going to say it can't happen. They won't be that.
Sure.
Like, they they cannot be good offensively and not be what we've seen in four games. Like, shooting 25% from three over three games, not getting the game over 30% from three. I don't think we see that in the first four games of the regular season. I don't know what you contribute that to. There could be a situation where it's a mentality thing and just not, being as focused. I don't know. But I'm pretty confident they're not going to shoot under 30% in the first four games of the season. And with these games, like as outside of Portland, which was atrocious, and I think the shooting and the turnovers is kind of what made that game what it was. But outside of the other three games, like it's been regular games. Like they've been close regular games. So if they're shooting 35% from three as opposed to 25%, you know, they win those games essentially. So that's why I think, like I said, everything's not going to be fixed at the start of the season, but they're not going to be this when the season starts, I don't believe, offensively.
And where I agree with you, and this is where I kind of argue against myself, is you look at the two Warrior games. In both games, the Kings did not shoot well from three-point range. And in both games, the starters were leading by the time Mike pulled the plug on them. Like, mm-hmm. He shut them down. They were ahead, including the Warriors game. They were down 10, like a third of the way or two-thirds of the way through the first quarter, mm-hmm. and then ended up going on a run and cutting it down to like four or something at the end of the quarter, and then took a lead in the second. So that was good to see. And they were doing that while consistently not shooting the ball well. Like the first quarter of game one of the preseason, offensively, that opening stretch, actually all the first quarter too, because Malik, the one stretch that Malik played before he had to leave for personal issues, Malik played really well in that stretch too. Mm-hmm. Your top six guys, our first glance was like, this is really, really, really good. And they still weren't shooting the basketball well. Mm-hmm. So the glass half full way of looking at that is, imagine how great they're going to be when the shots are falling. Good luck. Mm. But the reason why we saw the Utah Jazz beat the Sacramento Kings and end that game with what, 11, 12 blocks, something like that, is because the Jazz felt confident enough going, okay, Kings, we dare you to shoot. You can't hit anything, so we're just going to dare you to shoot. Kings need to be punishing the crap out of any team that does that to them this season, especially when their primary weapons are guys that are more known for scoring inside the arc than behind it. Mm-hmm. If the Kings can't punish teams for that, it takes a huge chunk away from the advantage that they have on the offensive end of the floor, which when on, I think Casey, you and I have talked about this. I don't know how you guard the Sacramento Kings if they're hitting shots. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. What do you take away? But the Kings can literally shoot themselves out of their advantage. And that's what we've seen too often in this preseason. Yeah.
What do you think was so different than from the I say the first half of the Warriors game? I do think they played well. The main group played well in the second Warriors game. I think there were some other elements that didn't look too sharp in that one. But do you think if we go with Portland as an outlier, like what was Utah? Like Utah, because I think we're all in agreement. They didn't play awful versus Utah, but they didn't really play well. Was that lack of interest? Lack of execution because of lack of interest. What would you boil that Utah game down to?
Yeah, I also don't subscribe to the idea that there's a lack of interest amongst the Kings. Like I don't believe that.
Okay.
I don't. Like I think this team does care. And I think like they get frustrated with how many times did DeMontis Sabonis in the locker room last
season?
Well,
he cares. Like that was pretty clear.
And De'Aaron, while some fans might get frustrated with De'Aaron coming to the podium after a loss and not looking upset or saying like, I'll leave this building and forget this. I understand if fans are frustrated with that, but De'Aaron Fox is not like, I collect my paycheck, I go home to my two children, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like this is how De'Aaron deals with the fact that he spent the vast majority of his career in a losing environment and just now is starting to kind of, he's always been a winner his entire life. So that's kind of been how he handles the Kings and playing in the Kings and the struggling and the inconsistencies of the years. But I don't believe for one second that the Kings are taking the floor against Utah and going, oh, it's preseason, we don't have to play hard. Like, I don't think there's like accountability is a huge word amongst this organization from coaching through the players. So unless they're just saying it and not living it and they're just being hypocritical of themselves, like I don't believe that. Do I think they're giving 110% like they would in a close game against Utah in January or December? No, not necessarily. But I don't think the Kings are just smiling and laughing and going, oh, well, this doesn't matter. None of these minutes matter. These aren't important. I think that each player has different reasons to approach preseason games personally. And then the team overall has a way to approach preseason. But going back to your question, D'Lo, I don't think there's anything in particular from that game outside of the... Oh, you know, I'll add this. I noticed a lot this preseason. I think I've noticed more this preseason season more than any... or more over the course of all of last season. I've witnessed more great individual defensive plays this preseason get followed up by a team defensive breakdown. Hmm. Like, you'll have 18 of a 24-second shot clock, and you'll have Keon Ellis make a great play. Keegan Murray make a great play. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox, like, had a phenomenal defensive possession in the fourth quarter against Lauri Markkanen when Markkanen was cooking. Now, that resulted in a turnover, which was good. But there are a number of times I was getting frustrated watching the game, and you could even hear G-Man getting frustrated a little bit calling the game. Like, the Kings would play 18 to 19 seconds of really, really good defense and then give up a backdoor cut and a layup at the rim at the end of the shot clock. Hmm. Like, that, I think that is also inexcusable, because the Kings' perimeter defense, we know it's bad. But after the Portland game, we talked to De'Aaron Fox, and the first thing Fox said is, defensively, we let them touch our paint too much. Like, they're getting inside too much, which is opening up everything else for them. So I think the Kings' interior defense has also been a concern of how many layups they're still giving up. And I know they're working on things and working on especially communicating on the defensive end, which is super important. But in addition to the shooting, I think that's one of the things that jumps off the page to me.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know if they don't care, you know what I mean? But there's a certain degree, you don't care. Like, none of this matters. Like, let's take it to the opposite end. They were 4-0 and looked phenomenal in this preseason. Ended up being 5-0 and looked phenomenal in this preseason. And they lost their first four games of the season. The preseason wouldn't matter. Like, it would not matter. And I think, mm-hmm. as much as I hear you, Matt, when you say, like, they haven't earned that right, these guys have been in the league 7, 8, 9 years. DeRozan been in the league 16 years. They're like, all right, like, it's to me, it's like human nature. It's a human nature thing. Like, yes, we want to mm-hmm. play well, but the level of focus just isn't going to be the same as it's going to be on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going to be able to beat the Timberwolves and the Lakers after that, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, you'll just turn it on and win games or play well, but I just think it's kind of human nature. Like, the focus just isn't the same as what it's going to be in a week.
Oh, I think the human nature aspect is spot on by UKC. 100%. Like, when you know you don't have to, I mean, we can apply this to all all facets of life. When you know you don't have to give your all, are you going to give your all? Like, that's where we get into, like, Kobe Bryant, Black Mamba, psycho Mamba mentality territory, where they just hated losing so much that a game that didn't matter, they're like, you know what, you're getting the best version of me because I'm a psychopath. Like, and that's just another level that some of these guys have. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting that from the Kings every time they step on the floor in a preseason game, or no matter who they're playing. So I agree with that aspect 100%. I think there's two aspects of, call it fear or wounded Kings fan syndrome, that I think have stuck with me throughout this preseason. The first aspect of it is kind of what I talked about earlier. A big issue with this Kings team was losing games that they know they should be winning, mm-hmm. and handling their business in those games, playing to the level of their competition, playing inconsistent depending upon who they were playing against. And with the way the Western Conference was, those games ended up being backbreaking. Like, those losses were backbreaking. Mm-hmm. And the West might be even better this year, to where I'm expecting the difference between a third or fourth seed and seventh and eighth seed, maybe two or three games with a bunch of tiebreakers. Like, that honestly might be the case with how good the West is. So I tie that into the other kind of fear that I have, and you talked about it earlier. What if this team gets off to a slow start? Like, I'm not saying if the Kings start the season 0-4 like they did 2 years ago that they're buried. Clearly, we've seen that that's not the case. And I think this team deserves time to get comfortable playing together and get their guys back and get to full strength, please God. That being said, like, they could lose to Minnesota, LA, drop a game to Portland, and suddenly, whether it's tiebreakers or just being in a hole, the Western Conference is not going to throw you a ladder. Like, you're going to have to climb that out with a spoon or with your hands. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the concern that I have with this Kings team is, early on in the season is where I feel like the Kings need to strike. That's where they need to jump on some of these teams that are going to ramp up. You're going to catch the Minnesota Timberwolves, a new look Minnesota Timberwolves team trying to implement some guys too. Mm-hmm. Catch them. Get them. That's your time. And you're on your home floor. Get them. The Los Angeles Lakers, they're worried about saving LeBron James and Anthony Davis for hopefully one last push in May and June. catch them game two of the season. Mm-hmm. That's where I want the Sacramento Kings to strike. I know they have to implement their own guys, but the early season, not taking advantage of the early season opportunities, I think we could look back in come March and April and go, man, that hurt Sacramento. That was the difference between them being a having home court advantage or barely holding on to a sixth seed and avoiding the play-in. Who knows?
Do you think Mike needs to manage this group a little differently than maybe teams that he's managed in years past for reasons that you and Casey just laid out? Like, DeMar's a Hall of Famer. He's 36 years old. You have a more veteran De'Aaron Fox now. Domantas Sabonis, the same thing. You know, Malik is a veteran, like, at this point. Like, you have a lot of vets on this team, and I've always believed that you manage vets a little bit different than you would manage a young team. And Mike now has stability with this organization. He has tenure with this organization. He has tenure with these guys. And I thought, you know, like, Malik likes to get on him about how much he practices, and that's a little joke between the two, and they go at each other. But there's probably a certain point where Mike might have to listen to Malik and, like, yeah, maybe we need to chill and how we manage the schedule here for a little bit.
I think there's little elements of when we learn about Mike's coaching, we learn about how stubborn he is. And I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, but like Mike shared with us, the focus on offensive rebounding, not his idea. That was Monty McNair's idea. And Mike pushed against it, was like, challenged it. And one of the things Mike says is, when you have an idea, you bring something to the table, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to keep challenging you. But if you back it up and continue to believe it, then I'm going to give it its chance. And clearly the offensive rebounding, he's giving more of a chance. Now it's a emphasis. Now it's a focus. That came from Monty McNair. Mm. And again, everything Monty McNair is doing suggests offense. Mm-hmm. And so many of the words out of Mike Brown's mouth last season were defense. So while I don't think there's animosity between the two, right? I don't think they're clashing. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned in that sense. I do think there are healthy competitive disagreements amongst an organization filled with a bunch of really competitive, smart people of how the correct way is to win in the modern NBA. Mm. So tying that to your thing, yes, I do think there is elements of Mike Brown where he does need to look in the mirror and go, hey, maybe I don't need to push these guys as hard. But at the same time, and I love Malik. And one of the things I appreciate about Malik is Malik always speaks his mind. He has his personality and the relationship that he has with the media. So if you don't get Malik, you think he's a jerk or you think that he's like a baby or a diva. That's not who Malik is at all. Like, Malik flips off the media and it's a sign of endearment. Like, it just makes us laugh. Like, that's just who Malik is. Mm-hmm. When Malik said that this team was tired, and then we talked to Mike right afterwards, mm-hmm. and we opened up, and I joke because Mike comes up to the point and I said, good luck. Oh, you're following Malik. Good luck, coach. And he kind of laughed and he said, oh, what did Malik say? And Sean said, oh, Malik said, like, you said, the guys are tired. And that's where most all of us started rolling. And you see Mike Brown. And if you haven't seen this, it's on my Twitter account. You see Mike Brown's face and he's like, really? Mm. Like, I think Mike was a little flustered in that press conference. And that was the same press conference where we start asking him about Kevin Huerter. He goes, I don't know. I don't know about, I think Mike was flustered that press conference. I genuinely think he was because I've never seen Mike act that way. Mm. Now he starts talking, he goes, maybe it's more mental fatigue than physical fatigue, but go and watch the video at the very beginning of the video. Watch Mike's face when he hears that we told him that Malik says the guys are tired. Mm. Mike's face is like, that's news to him. Or that doesn't make sense to him. And he goes on to defend, like, look, I pulled the main guy. The guys didn't play 5-on-5. The top guys didn't play 5-on-5. We haven't had two-a-days since the first week. Mm-hmm. They have not been playing heavy minutes in games. Like, he lays out all the reasons why these guys are professional athletes. They shouldn't complain about being tired. Mm-hmm. So I think there's maybe a middle ground to be met in all of this. But I thought that was very peculiar, and not in a way that people should be concerned about, but just in a way of different viewpoints and philosophies of how to approach the preseason. Malik also said in that press conference that day that he's most excited to get back on the floor. What he's focusing on in preseason is conditioning, nothing else. And I asked him about the three-point shooting, and he said, it's preseason. We can't show you everything. Mm. So again, take all these words and all this personality into effect. All these guys are working together to accomplish the same goal. But clearly there's different beliefs of how you get there. And hopefully they can all figure out the right way to do it.
Hey, Matt, how much of this preseason and guys kind of working on things do you think plays into some of the up and down play or the down play, however, people look at it? And that, the example that I used is, you know, in the NFL, we see training camps and preseasons and Brock Purdy will throw five straight interceptions on five plays. But what, you know, people will report that. But what they don't explain as well is he's trying something out. He's trying to see, you know, how his receivers can adjust to the pass or, you know, if he can fit this into this window or whatever. And in training camp, that's when you're open to making those type of mistakes because they don't count. Or even in the preseason, you look at it that way. Do you see any of that with this Kings team in the preseason? And do you think any of that is playing into kind of the inconsistent play?
There were two people on this station that made really, really fantastic points on this thing. The first was James Hamm, and James talked about how not just are these guys working on their own thing, they're working against primarily guys that are trying to earn a roster spot, and that matters, right? Like, De'Aaron's not fighting. I mean, now he's working against Jordan McLaughlin, but Jordan McLaughlin wasn't guarding De'Aaron the first week and a half of training camp because Jordan was out, right? The Kings are... The second unit of the Kings was featuring guys like Jones, like all the Jones players and all, like, not guys that you would expect. Now, I'm not blaming them for the Kings not being ready, but that's just a reality of the situation, right? And James kind of laid that out eloquently. The second person who made a great point was yourself, Casey, and you were talking about Keegan Murray. Keegan didn't take a lot of threes in the first couple games of preseason, especially the Warriors game. He's been putting up a lot of shots. I think in the Warriors game, he put up like 19 shots because Keegan's working on attacking the basket. And Keegan got to the free throw line 8 times in that game, which I thought was excellent. So, yeah, these guys are 100% working on different individual things, too. The amount of DHO play that we're seeing between DeMar DeRozan and DeMontis Sabonis. And remember, too, we haven't asked Mike this lately, and maybe I should before I make this assumption. But the vast majority of what the Kings are doing on offense is not drawn up. It is all read and react, kind of schoolyard style, which is a big emphasis of this offense, right? Mike gives them the foundation of where they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to play and what to look for and lets them go. They don't draw up a lot of stuff. So I have to imagine, too, come Thursday against Minnesota or against Los Angeles, once the regular season starts, maybe we'll start to see a little bit more of some specific offensive sets and things that they've been working on in practice that they haven't brought out in preseason because it's preseason. And I'm hoping for that too. But yes, Casey, there are 100% elements of different guys working on different things for themselves and to give different looks for the team. Mike Brown's even said it himself, like outside of Alex Len, Jordan McLaughlin, and Malik Monk, everybody else that he's been playing in that second unit right now is straight experimenting. He's experimenting with guys because he's got some injuries, and plus he wants to know who to keep around at the end of his roster. So that's what this time is about. Yeah. So 100%, Casey, you're right on that.
Man, all of this is fascinating. Oh, like to see how it plays out and what the outcome is, because it's, you know, are they working on something? Are they experimenting? Do they need to... more time playing with each other? Are they not taking it serious? Like, it's all fascinating to see how it plays out. Like, can they just get into the regular season and, you know, flip a switch and play better? Or should they have been taking things more seriously during? Are they not taking seriously? Are they, like, it's just to see how it plays out is, I'm just so interested to see how they start this season, because there's so many factors and so many different approaches. And then, like, our job, like writing and reporting on it, so many assumptions that some of it may be right, some of it may be wrong, and whose process is right. It's just, I don't know. I'm just so interested to see how they play Thursday and then in the games following that.
This is the first time that I can remember where I'm nervous going into a season, because of kind of the weight of expectations. Last year it was, okay, build upon the great year that you had, but now you've got DeMar DeRozan. Now you've got this team that they're not on a clock like the Lakers or Warriors are on a clock, but time is ticking a little bit, and there's a lot of money tied up into this team and more money coming for a couple of guys named De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray. So this is a really, really, really important kind of, in some ways, make or break year, I think, for this group. And I've said many times this offseason, I think the most important question the Kings need to answer this year is, do they feel confident enough going all in? Like, that's the question they need to answer. Are you confident going all in? Because financially, you're going to kind of have to. Do you do it? Or do you think this team can do it with one more big move? Or do you not believe they can? That's the question they need to answer. And that comes with kind of stress of, okay, you got to perform now. So that the nerves coming into opening week are higher than I think they've ever been, at least from my perspective, because there's a lot riding on this team in this season and getting it right. And the West ain't going to wait around for them.
You brought him up a couple of times, Matt. What was your first and overall impressions of Jordan McLaughlin?
Oh, I love him. I think he looks fantastic. I think initially we thought, okay, this is a placeholder for Devin Carter. Jordan McLaughlin plays like this throughout the season, Devin Carter is going to come back from injury and have a nice, comfortable spot on the bench. Like that's Jordan McLaughlin is doing exactly, at least in these very small sample size, in these couple preseason games, he's doing exactly what you want out of a backup guard. And he's capable of playing off ball, because when he plays with Malik Monk, he's going to be off ball. He plays with Fox, he might do both. Fox has been playing a lot of off ball this preseason too. He plays with Keon Ellis. Now he's a little more on ball. He can handle that. Defensively, he's doing the job. Had what, like four steals or something like that against Utah, made a couple of really big plays down the stretch to help keep the Kings in it. Maybe it's just I have low expectations from a backup point guard, but I don't think that's the case at all. I think that's just you have a job to do, and Jordan McLaughlin knows his job and goes in and does it. And that's for the value, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I was really impressed by the way he played in these two games, coming back from injury. I wonder, you know, because a lot of people, myself included, wondered how much he would play, because with that bench unit, you may look at like Malik as being like the backup point guard, but I feel like Jordan's shown a lot in these two games where he'll be vital to this rotation. His ability to score, his ability to spread the floor a little bit, set up others. I'm sure Mike already knew this, but you know, after those two games, he really, you know. He carved a spot in this rotation, I think.
I agree. I think he's stayed put, and he's been a welcome reinforcement with how banged up this team has been. And it gives you hope. Like, if Kevin Huerter can come in and make the same impact, Trey Lyles can come in and make the same impact, know their job and be ready to go, that would be pretty sweet too. Hopefully we get good news about Trey here in the very near future.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it though. Dougie McBuckets. Like, come on, man.
Great Twitter follow.
Kings needed a three-point shooter. They went out and got one. Doug McDermott, the newest member of the Sacramento Kings. One, do you think he plays tonight? Two, do you think he plays? Period.
Yes and yes. Okay. I mean, he's there. He sent a video. Kings social media. It's actually him. This is really him on social media.
No, wait a minute. Are we sure?
Unless it's a very, really, actually with AI, you never know. But I think it was a Kings video of Doug McDermott saying hi to the fans, and he's in the Intuit Dome. So Doug's there. Same thing with Kevin Huerter. Why not play him? Like, what's the point of going cold feet into the regular season when he's there and available? So, yes, 100%. Who are you going to play over him? Isaac Jones? Like, no disrespect to Isaac Jones.
But no, I was disrespectful.
Doug McDermott's an NBA player. We know this. And McDermott is going to help this team with shooting. And for God's sake, he gives Keegan Murray another body out there, just another guy with, like, a guy, I'm trying so hard not to pause here with this stupid show.
And, no, go ahead. No, go ahead. Come on. Come on, Matt. Come on, Matt.
Constantly monitoring the chat.
It's fine, Matt. Come on.
Yes. A guy with length.
Yeah, you got length. You want a guy with size. I got it, Matt. It's fine.
Guy with length, you know, brought to you by Hims.
If Morgan was here, she'd want a little girth.
Yeah.
Well, that's it's true.
Anyway,
focus, Matt. Come on, baby.
You got a wing / forward who can shoot, has a primary skill, and directly helps something that you're struggling with right now. So, yes, Doug McDermott plays. Absolutely, Doug McDermott plays.
I'm with it.
Once you're 100% healthy, like, now we start talking about how deep Mike Brown's rotations are, because who loses a spot and where are the minutes going? Because I'm already skeptical that Mike's going to have a 10-man rotation. Hmm. I think he's going to be like, I think nine is the sweet spot for Mike.
That's what I want. I want 9-man rotation for this team, man.
So Malik ain't going anywhere, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Trey, we assume. I mean,
Trey ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, Trey's not going anywhere. No, so you've got two that are pretty much locks. Jordan McLaughlin now looks like he should be a lock. Mm-hmm. So you got one more spot that Doug McDermott and Alex Len are fighting for. And who am I missing? Oh, Kevin Huerter.
Kevin Huerter's
and
in
we
there.
Don't.
Wow, you're like Mike Brown. You forgot Kevin Huerter. You forgot Kevin Huerter was on the team. Man.
You know, I understand Mike now. I understand.
Apparently.
Kevin Huerter's in there. So it might be 10. And I think McDermott and Alex Len will be situational.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right about that.
When Alex Len's not playing, then it's Trey Lyles as your backup five, so you're going small, which I think can work, and we saw it against the Golden State Warriors, but that's where you're talking situational. You can't do that against Minnesota, I don't think. Like, you have to have Alex Len probably back up Domantas Sabonis in Minnesota.
Well, put him on the floor at the same time. What game was that? Was that Portland? Yeah, what game was that?
It was Utah.
It was Utah.
Day, yeah. Or just let Rudy shoot. Give him the ball. Please. Man,
if anyone in your life hates you the way Kenny hates Rudy Gobert, boy, you live a tough life, man. Goodness gracious.
Please post up Rudy, please. Man. I beg of you. Run the offense through him. Hell, Jordan McLaughlin, you guard Rudy. I don't care.
Man, the next time we talk, Matt, it's going to be opening night.
Opening night. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Stuff. Let's get this going.
Doug McDermott, by the way, number 7. He takes Sasha's number, so.
Oh, man. What a disrespect. That's the EuroLeague MVP. He was going to change everything.
the what did they say? The pen on the ink, the ink on the paper hadn't even dried yet for the trade. And they gave his number away.
Shout out to Sasha. He's not exactly poor after going back overseas. He signed himself a nice little. Nice little overseas contract. So I'm fired up. For those who haven't watched Matt on YouTube, especially with the regular season getting here next Thursday, I strongly encourage and I actively avoid listening to you in podcast form because I like watching the video on YouTube because you do such a great job. For those that don't know, especially when the games are at the Golden One Center, Matt has to film all of the games for his ABC broadcast. And
doing a really good job.
Fantastic. And is able to incorporate highlights and press conference stuff right into the podcast. So it makes for a really, really good watch. So for those who are into podcasts and like to watch podcasts, Locked On Kings is really one of the best, if not the best, because no one can edit and film the way Matt does. So that's really good stuff. And then you get Matt at the arena yelling, which is usually it's one of my favorites because it's hard to kind of judge sound in the arena. So Matt is always a smidge bit louder when he's at the Golden One Center.
I appreciate that. I either piss off because I go and I record the podcast up at the suite level, like the second level right above the
Caraway level.
Well, no, not the Caraway.
Caraway is closer to the court. That's
right. Good point.
Not up there. It's public access. There's a staircase. You don't have to scan like a Kenny Caraway badge or anything to get into where I get into. But people are working around me trying to clean up, and they have this loser sitting in a chair that they need to be stacking, screaming at a camera. But some of them I also will see some around my peripherals are like cleaning up, and they start nodding. Oh, okay. So I might be entertaining them, or I see a lot of them just put AirPods in immediately as soon as they start talking. So
tune this guy out. Show business,
baby.
It's what it is, man. It's a glamorous life we live. Glamorous life. Our man Matt George, ABC10, Locked On Kings basketball. 1 week from today. Basketball in about 4 hours, by the way, about 3.5 hours. Yes. We got the Kings and the Clippers at Intuit Dome. I'm fine. Give me some good basketball. Let me see the wall. I want to see the wall.
Shoot 40% from three. Just one. Knock down a bunch of threes.
We'll give up 35% too while we're at it.
Man, you got to settle down.
Now we're asking for the world.
We appreciate you. We got baseball coming up next. Run it back, baseball. A little bit of everything coming up next. We're going to head over to 102.5. We appreciate you for being with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, vamos Mets.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.